And so today we're having a conversation about using business rescue as a tool to not allow ourselves to get to that point where the business has to close down, essentially trying to save the business. And joining us to do that is Vincent Manko, who is a director for dispute resolution at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Vincent, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the process of business rescue here. Also, who it is accessible to, Vincent, because I think maybe for many businesses and many business owners, it can seem like something that's only for the big, big guys and not for every other business.
Thank you, Nolutando. So business rescue is available for all companies in South Africa. What does it mean? Business rescue basically means that before the company can go into liquidation, or any company for that matter, if the company is in financial distress, and that's quite important, then business rescue will then start. What it means is the business is then given certain protections, right? And those protections include the fact that there will be a moratorium in place, there will be some temporary supervision with the appointment of a BRP. The BRP has certain powers, including to suspend partially or entirely certain agreements. So the main purpose of business rescue is to then give the company breathing space during that period of financial distress. So that's how it works, and it is available for all companies in South Africa, not only sort of your so-called big companies.
And what triggers, a business for it to know, Vincent, that, maybe it's time for me to look at a business rescue as an option?
Yeah, that's quite an important issue that you raise, because one of the things that we observe in practice is most businesses might be in financial distress, but they are either in denial about the fact that they're in financial distress, or there's no any detection. They don't realize that they're in financial distress. So as soon as, obviously, let's give you an example, if there's issues with the landlord, let's say payment of employees, or generally business is slow. The test that's used in the Act, the African Companies Act, is that financial distress is referenced to your ability to pay your debtors as and when they arise. So the moment you have that issue where you cannot pay your debtors, then you should definitely consider business rescue. Well, either, for two things. One, to avoid worst-case scenario, which would be liquidation, and secondly, to preserve the business and the jobs that come with that.
And then also, the issue of a business rescue here. If I have started a business with various people, Vincent, is it important for us to have a resolution by the time that we approach, help? What are some of the processes that might have to follow internally within a business before we can start to trigger the process?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So there are two ways you can go into business rescue. The sort of first way you can go about it is called voluntary business rescue. So what you do is, you're a company. Each company has a board of directors. That board of directors will then pass a resolution by a simple majority. And before they do, the board of directors has to believe that, one, the company is in financial distress, as I've mentioned. Secondly, that there's a reasonable prospect of rescuing the entity. So that's the first way you can go about it. If obviously you're all working together as a board of directors, you see there's a problem, you pass a resolution by a simple majority. The second issue is if you all can agree, let's assume the board, either they're in denial or they don't pick up the financial distress. Any person, and the definition used in the Act is it refers to an affected person. So an affected person could be an employee, could be a trade union, could be a creditor, could be a shareholder. A shareholder can then apply to court to put the company in business rescue. So that's the second way of going about it. And what that creditor or shareholder or employee or union, that what they will have to prove, one, is that the company is in financial distress because, let's say, there's a failure to pay an obligation that was due and payable, or they can say that it's just inequitable to put the company in business rescue. But most importantly, they have to then indicate that there's a reasonable prospect of rescuing the company. What you don't want is a company going into business rescue, even though there's no prospect of rescuing it, because then it may as well just go into liquidation.
And then let's talk about that. Would a business rescue practitioner or a legal entity make an assessment about whether this is a business rescue case or a liquidation case?
Yeah, that's correct. So that's something that the board, especially, let's say it's a voluntary business rescue. That's something that the board must sort of apply their mind up front. What we encourage companies to do is, or business rescue practitioners to do, is to do a pre-assessment. So up front, you can then do the work. You don't want to pass a resolution, to brace yourself in business rescue, only to find out that actually there is no reasonable prospect of success. So that pre-assessment where you determine whether there is a reasonable prospect is quite important. We encourage companies, business rescue practitioners alike, to undertake that exercise before entering this process.
And then let's say a practitioner, Vincent, comes into the business and, you know, they are then turning the business around. What happens to the day-to-day management of the business? What happens to the executives, the employees? You know, that's something that might have a lot of people who might be considering the process very anxious. You know, do I just lose all control of my business?
Yeah, that's quite an important question. So business rescue practitioners are officers of the court. One of their cardinal duties is to come in and take full management control of the company in substitution of the board, right, and the pre-existing management. So, you know, they become sort of your directors of the entity. It does not mean that the board, you know, is rendered useless. The board will still be there, but the ultimate decision making lies with the business rescue practitioner. Same with management. Obviously, management can remain and do whatever is expected of management to the extent that the company is still trading, but the ultimate buck stops with the business practitioner. So that's the first thing. The business rescue practitioner takes full management control of the company. The second thing is the business rescue practitioner can delegate, obviously, certain functions to either management or to the board. So the fact that a business rescue practitioner comes into a company, it's not a reason for you either as the board or management to feel worried that, you know, this person will just come and sideline. He can delegate certain duties, but ultimately the buck stops with that business rescue practitioner. As I've said, he's an officer of the court.
I also want to speak about, you know, the bad reputation that business rescue may have. And that's on the base of big cases, parastatals as well. Vincent, in your experience here, when business owners come through for the process, are they referring to these big cases? Have these big cases kind of given the process of business rescue a bad rap?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. Look, there are instances where, maybe through the behavior of BRPs, sometimes not their fault, let's say non-cooperation amongst all affected persons, that has sort of tend to give business rescue sort of a bad rep, as you say. But I think there are some sort of key lessons that we can learn from those successful business rescue practitioners, that business rescue processes that have happened. So there's a couple of lessons. One, I think, cooperation between all affected persons, and here I'm talking about creditors, employees, shareholders, and the like. That's quite important for any successful business rescue practitioner. So that sort of open, transparent engagement between all the stakeholders. So that's the first lesson I think that you can learn in a successful business rescue. The second one would be, as I think I've already mentioned this, but early detection of financial distress, right? Because and taking proactive measures that are critical, often to avoid that financial distress leading to liquidation. So, for example, to the extent that, you know, you don't need to get there, you can speak to your funders, speak to your creditors around waivers and extensions. So that's quite important, because that trust sort of that you've built along the line can then become quite important in the business rescue scenario. The third one, sort of lesson, I think that we can learn from those six successful business rescues, is the availability of post-commencement finance. Because I think it's very hard for a business rescue practitioner to come into an entity and sort of try to rescue it without availability of cash. So that availability can sort of more or less, more often than not, be the difference between a successful business rescue or an unsuccessful business rescue.
And before I let you go, Vincent, can a business rescue process then still lead to liquidation?
It can. In the main, if a business is in business rescue, but the business rescue practitioner believes that there is no reason prospect of the company being rescued, in that case, the business rescue practitioner can then apply to a court for an order to discontinue the business rescue proceedings and to place the company in business rescue. So that's the first sort of way that business rescue proceedings can be terminated. Alternatively, if there's no longer a reasonable grounds to believe that the company is financially distressed, it can come out of business rescue, which obviously litigation sort of has, you know, nobody wins ever in a litigation. If anything, it's mainly creditors. But even them, you know, it's unlikely that as a creditor you're going to get your full recovery.
Well, I think you've taken us through this process very, very well. And I hope it really does, bring some light to many business owners who may be in a difficult place. Vincent, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. That was Vincent Manko. He's Director for Dispute Resolution at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, speaking to us about business rescue there, you know, a process that might help you save your business rather than going straight into liquidation and ensuring that you are able to save as many jobs and even the company as a whole in a time when your company may be enduring some difficulties. It's 18 minutes past 7. Let's go for a quick spot.